This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is... you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Back of the chest. Coronavirus self-isolation podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. It's back in the next lockdown sessions. What are we now? 16. And of course, today is what would have been the final preview podcast of the season. We would have been looking ahead to Tottenham on the weekend, which would have undoubtedly seen us, what do you reckon, Heskiv, gaining a Champions League place or a Europa League place at the very, very least?
Yeah, I reckon Europa this year, Champions League next year.
Yeah, but have a really terrible season next year, but win the Europa and qualify for the Champions League that way.
And still finish above Brighton.
Albert's also joining us. He's quite incredulous at the moment about the beer I'm supposed to be drinking for beer check here.
Mate, you need to just lay it out on the table and we can all go from there.
So... friend of the pod, Mark, who me and my friend Nick met him and his son on an away day probably 4 seasons ago now, I reckon. We sat at the same table, and then through the as the years have gone on, we've got to know each other quite well. We go to games together, etc. So Mark bought me a beer over last week. He cycled over for some exercise and dropped me off a beer as a congratulations for my baby. And it's a Cantillon Lou Pepe Guaza, I think is what it's called, from 2005. And I was like, oh, great. You know, he talked about it, what it tastes like. And, you know, he said it's a bit like very sour. So, you know, if you're into it, you're going to love it. If not, you probably won't. And he goes, and if you don't like it, you'll probably, he goes, if you do like it, you'll probably want to get more bottles. But I've just bloody Googled it. And... they're going for $450 a pop, Albert.
I mean, ridiculous. You've already said it tastes really sour, which isn't, that's not a good thing, is it? That is not a good thing. So why is that £400? Don't get me started on the name. We're going to move on from the name. What did you say? It is a Guezer, Quasar. Yeah,
Gueuze.
What is that?
I don't know.
It's the whole thing's ridiculous.
Well, I mean...
I wouldn't pay that for a bottle of Budweiser, and I really like Budweiser.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to hold off on drinking it for now. I don't... if it's that expensive, and of course, I would never sell on a gift. So if it's that expensive, with all due respect, I don't think I'm going to share it with you two over a call.
I don't want any of it. I mean, if you looked it up, didn't you look it up? What was the tasting aroma note that you read?
I was Googling as Terry was running around the house trying to find a buyer, and the first review on the website or an app or whatever called Untappd said it kind of smells like a tire.
Mm.
So that's a ringing endorsement for something that costs about the same as a season ticket in the lower hometown.
I can get all the tyres changed on my car for that price.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just wondering here if there's like special bottles of this or something. Like, you know, it can't be right. He can't have given me a $450 bottle of beer.
Are there special bottles of it that don't smell like a tyre? Because I'd probably be more interested in that, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. But we'll check it out. We'll do some more deep diving on this, and then I'll find out before I actually drink it. So I'm hoping it's some kind of rip-off version or something. I don't know. Right, so yeah, so I'm sticking with the Club Tropicana. Shout out to my friend Nick who bought me these, as I said. Yeah, these are running out, mate, so you better order me some more in. Budweiser, Albert. I mean,
a Bud Guwiser.
Is it from 2005?
Probably, don't know.
Have you seen they've started doing re-airing the Budweiser advert, the famous one? There was a...
Have they?
Yeah, because they're all doing it on the phone, so they've brought it back out as in they're practicing social distancing.
Gotcha.
So the other day I was like, what's this? It came on the TV and the wife was like, why are they doing Scary Movie? Just shook my head.
Dear, oh dear.
Yeah, exactly. So, and what about you, Albert? Moretti's?
Albert or Hesketh?
No. Hesketh. Sorry, excuse me, good sir. How could I confuse the two of you?
No.
I should be more offended at that.
I know. We'll discuss in our separate pod after we record this one. I'm drinking water. I made the decision to drink less beer during the week because I was getting through a lot. We do have a bottle of Aperol downstairs, so it's not going quite as well as I thought.
Yeah, well, we've got a bottle of Aperol has arrived as well. So
have a bottle of Aperol, but it's
just disappeared somewhere.
I had a bottle of Aperol last Saturday. I had a Zoom session with a few old mates for one of their birthdays, and it became apparent that I had no beer in the fridge. Had loads of Prosecco and Aperol, so I just had about 15 Aperol spritzes until about 2 in the morning, but didn't realise that until I came down the next morning, not feeling great, to see an empty Prosecco bottle and an almost empty Aperol bottle. Good stuff.
That's the same issue we've had, but one of the reasons why we're cutting down is every time we empty, you know, the bottles and cans and stuff into the recycling, seems to be more.
Your new neighbours are looking at you like,
yeah. And we were like, yeah, we cleaned this bin out about a week ago and it's almost full now, so maybe we should knock it on the head a bit. So I'm drinking water
because you can't even use the excuse now that you could, like, normally when you go, we had a party.
Yeah,
you can't even use that now, so they just know you're a proper lush,
proper pisshead. Yeah, well, there we go.
Right, update on the beer. I've got a message from Mark who bought me the beer.
He wants it back.
It is now, but when I got it, it was about £10, which is still expensive, but not stupid. I've got a 2005 and 2007, so I'm very happy for you to have one of my extra bottles. I've never been one to care about the price of a beer, although I would never pay $450 for one and would never sell it, so I'm very happy for you to have it. If you like it, well, that's a bonus. If you don't, well, at least you can say you've had a ridiculously expensive beer and you cannot see what the fuss was about. So thank you, Mark. Yeah, I'm still going to save it for a more special occasion than this. So there you go. Right, tonight, being the last show of the year, or it might not be for us, we might do some more just to stave off boredom for us as this lockdown period continues, or whatever it is now. Is it lockdown anymore? Who knows what it is? But yeah, so we're going to do performance of the year, player of the year, and goal of the season. So let's get the easy one out of the way first, and we'll start with goal of the season. Albert, I don't think there's any surprises coming from any of us.
I mean, I tried to find another credible option, and there just isn't.
Yeah, I mean, the closest I think we got was maybe Patrick Van Aanholt against Newcastle with the free kick, or Jeffrey Schlupp against Bournemouth. But, you know, I think that's, again, more circumstances than anything. Hesk, if you weren't such a fan of Benteke at Everton.
Well, going by the fact that the header that he had was a better goal and it didn't even go in than the goal that did. Poor old Benteke, not quite up to scratch.
Yeah, the thing about the IU goal was not only was, you know, it was his second last minute or basically last minute winner against West Ham of the season, which is obviously great going by any stretch of the imagination. But Hesketh, do you feel like it was a goal that has not really got the credit it deserves across the footballing world? And, you know, he's basically mazed his way through several players, made space out of nowhere and dinks it over the goalie last minute. It's just, you know, hate to say this, but if Messi did that.
It's true though, isn't it? I mean, it's basically a perfect goal. You know, he did a pirouette to mug off Declan Rice that everyone fawns over in the media. He showed quick feet to get between the two defenders. He looked up, he sat the goalie down. It was a brilliant finish. In a pressure situation, you know, like you say, it was the last minute. It was a winner. And I think it's fair, you know, the commentary, he says, oh, what a good goal. But it's sort of similar to the commentary when Andros scored against Man City, where if it was the other team that had scored it, or if it was a bigger name who had scored it, like if Aguero had done it, they'd be going absolutely mental. And I can think of, you know, we're biased, obviously, but I can think of other times it's happened as well, when Benteke sat Courtois down and chipped him a few years ago.
Mm.
No one talked about that.
That was a dream. That was a distant dream.
I know. I think the best commentary I heard from it was from the radio. I think someone sort of put that over the top of the goal, and that was good because he absolutely went mental. Yeah. It deserved to go mental because every part of that goal was brilliant and got better and better every time you watch it.
Mm. Yeah, and Albert, was this, in terms of individual goals at Selhurst Park, it's got to be up there with one of the best ever, hasn't it?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Cool. Quickly scanning through the old memory banks. Well, yeah, on the face of it, the immediate answer to that is yes. I'd have to go away, of course, and look all that up. But yeah, I mean, what a goal. What a goal. And Hesketh's right. Like, it just didn't get anywhere near the praise that it should have got. I think the commentary that he's referring to is the most generous. It reminds me of, was it the it was the Andros goal, wasn't it? I think you played it. There was some French commentary for the
yeah.
Can't remember what the key word was that they kept repeating. It was like motherfuckers or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it might have been. Yeah, was it French? I don't think it was French. I think it might have been African French or something like that.
All right, don't split hairs. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah.
But yeah, it was. We've got on the IU goal and also on the Townsend goal, it was the BBC London commentator who everyone put it over the goal. But, you know, the internet kept taking it down, so I'm not even sure if they're out there to look at anymore. But
imagine what Jonathan Pearce would have said after your...
Well, exactly. We'll look back up Jonathan Pearce, the excerpt we had from last week of that doogie boogie woogie, like radio commentary. You can't top radio commentary, is the best.
I reckon he would have shouted, Robot Wars!
Yeah. I definitely would have shouted that. Sergeant Bash! Or something like that.
Sergeant Bash.
Yeah, he was one of the house robots on Robot Wars.
Blimey. I remember
Sir
Matilda.
Sir Kill-A-Lot.
Bit clunky, that one. Do you reckon that was off the back of Sir Mix-A-Lot or something?
I hope so. He likes big nuts and he cannot lie. I mean, that is fucking niche. And there was another one, but I can't remember what he was called.
Mm. Yeah, I'm impressed that you remember. Your memory's that good, to be honest.
Yeah, well, you know.
So let's
not dwell on it. Yeah,
let's not dwell on it. Indeed. Would you bring it back though? Would you commission it?
Well, Robot Wars. I think it is back, isn't it?
Oh God, it might be.
I'm pretty sure. I've certainly seen it in the last couple of years. I say seen it. I haven't seen it. I've been aware of its presence the last couple of years. Okay. But I'm going to Google it now, because if Jonathan Pierce still commentates on it, even if it hasn't got Philippa Forrester, I'm interested.
Yeah, 2016 to 2018, there were some series apparently.
Well, there you go.
Wow. So it doesn't need any more revivals. It's already happened.
That's one less thing off my to-do list then.
Yeah. Well, we need to get us on there. We'll try. If there's any more series that come out, we'll make sure we reply. Build a robot. Surely you know someone in the film world who could help us there, Albert.
I know plenty of people that can make robots.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. Sorted. Right, let's move away from Robot Wars. Performance of the year. I guess this one will throw up a little bit more variety. Go on then, Albert. What was your performance of the year?
I'm still torn. I really liked the 2-2 at Man City. I don't know if it's performance of the year, but it's definitely one of the results of the year. And, you know, the performance was decent, I thought. You know, I know the last-minute equaliser was technically an OG, but Zaha does amazing work for it. The Tosin goal, again, feels like a distant memory. Like it never happened. That's a tasty goal. And there's an argument to say that we should have gone 2-0 up in that game when Tosin sort of runs past a flapping, I can't even remember the keeper's name. Was his name Eduardo?
Ederson.
And is adjudged to have fouled, I think it's Fernandinho, before slotting home. You know, and City it's hard to know what tense to use at the moment, aren't the force to be reckoned with that they were certainly in the last couple of seasons. But, you know, they should still be, you know, edging it against us. I just thought we matched them. And then the other contender for me, bar the first 10 minutes, was the performance at Arsenal. I mean, a really crap first 10 minutes. Two really awful, you know, displays of defending at set pieces and Hennessy all over the show. Sorry, mate. But sort of to come back and get a draw there after such an abject start, I thought was worthy of a mention as well. But the City game probably edges it for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that last-minute equaliser, one of the maddest celebrations I think I've ever witnessed, because it was just so shocking. You know, we'd thrown away the lead. If anything, City would have gone and get a third, and then we get out of our half for the first time in like 40 minutes and score straight away. It was just absolutely ridiculous. And all the players coming over in front of us, it was excellent. And similar celebrations, I think, for your performance of the year, Hesketh.
Yeah, just quickly before I go into that, that Man City game was on my birthday and I was in Malta, which also seems like a distant memory. Not only leaving my house, but leaving the country. Seems mad. But I remember that because I basically said to Vanessa, like, don't tell me the score. I just look at half time, because if we're getting battered, I don't want to know. We went back to the hotel and they'd left a very nice bottle of wine. So I was like, all right, fuck it, open it and tell me the score. And we just scored the last minute equaliser. So it was a wonderful birthday. So
you were on holiday for that one, were you?
I did the preview pod, so let's not cast aspersions. Moving
too late on.
Yeah, surprise, season long aspersions. Performance of the season for me, probably one that I think a lot of people would say, was Bournemouth at home. Obviously going down 1-0 so early on,
down to 10 men,
yeah, sorry, was really tough. And, you know, I think you could say Bournemouth weren't very good, because I thought they were not even ordinary. I thought they were pretty crap. but the way we played, you wouldn't have known we had 10 men. We kept the tempo up. We played some really nice stuff. And I think we mentioned it a few weeks ago, Schlupp's goal, where every sort of 5 yards that he runs, the crowd noise gets louder and louder, sort of in the way that I used it as well, where every little bit further, you can tell everyone's sort of shouting, go on a little bit more.
I was shouting pass.
And like the eruption when the goal went in was probably one of, if not the loudest sort of celebration at home. Maybe Wilf against Brighton got louder, but definitely one of the sort of best celebrations for a home goal we've had this season. And we completely deserve to win the game. You know, it was almost as if we were playing with 11 against Bournemouth's 10 and we were just putting them to the sword. So, yeah, that gets my vote for performance of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that was probably one of the loudest celebrations since maybe as far back as the first season in the Premier League, you know, where every goal meant so much to us. And we had some really, really big ones then. And then you think back to Gal's equaliser against Liverpool right at the end of the season, took the roof off the place. But yeah, I mean, it just what a night that was. And the players have all talked about it multiple times, as we've mentioned on previous podcasts. And yeah, just fantastic performance. And I mean, all three of those that you've mentioned, the performances that obviously made my shortlist, and I would probably say it's between Man City and Arsenal, one of those two. But because you've said those, I'll say Burnley away, the 2-0. That was always a tough place to go. And even in previous years when we've won there, we've not kept a clean sheet. So to go there and keep a clean sheet and just look so comfortable, it's one of those places that you go, if you can go there and do that, you probably feel like you're a well-established Premier League team. You know, it's kind of like the modern day Stoke or whatever, to, you know, go there and have a battle with them and come out on top, especially with their fan base the way they are. Yeah, another set of fans that absolutely hate Wilf, etc. So yeah, that was a fantastic performance. Hopefully we'll get to see some more performances live and in the flesh sometime this year, but probably not.
Just before we move on, I just also want to give a shout out for that Arsenal game that you guys mentioned, for Sokratis running the width of the pitch and doing a knee slide, only for a pretty legitimate goal to be disallowed. I thought that was very enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing we got a 2-2 out of that, when it felt like the on-field referee was certainly against us that day, Martin Atkinson booking Wilf for diving and then having to overturn it. I guess we've also got... Andros Townsend's been talking to a Bournemouth player today, so on the back of your performance of the season, what's Andros been saying to Bournemouth players?
Yeah, I saw that just before we came on, actually. Andros had put a picture or a video up on his Instagram saying, can't wait to be back. And there was a reply from Adam Smith, the ratty little Bournemouth player, who said, just missing mine, mate. And Andros replied, sorry, mate, you're usually too busy trying to get our players sent off. Which I thought, for someone like Andros, who seems pretty calm and level-headed, that's quite a good reply.
Yeah, I'm kind of like trying to work out if there's any link between them, like they know each other to have that sort of level of banter, or he's just, you know, just, he must have really pissed him off. So what was this on Insta? Because I don't really get what his response means. What does his response of?
I have a feeling that Adam Smith was at Tottenham. I might be wrong. But I think Adam Smith was also the one who was fouled when Mama got sent off, I'm pretty sure. But he's a ratty little, very Bournemouthy player, you know, these sort of like nibbly little fouls. So I don't like him, which comes as no surprise to anyone, because I hate 99% of the world.
Yeah, great knowledge. So they were definitely together at the same years at Spurs. So there you go. Yeah, they must know each other. And he's also, he went on about as many loans as Andros did as well. Wickham, Torquay, Bournemouth, Milton Keynes Dons, Leeds, Millwall, Derby, before he eventually ended up at Bournemouth in 2014. So
now he's slumming it at Bournemouth, poor sod.
Oh, he's from Leytonstone. Look at that. Down the road from me. But anyway, let's move on away from there. Let's get into player of the season then. And I think... everybody knows there's a short list of two for this. And it, I guess, Albert, this is kind of what floats your boats more, whether it's stopping goals or scoring goals.
What are you talking about? Hennessy and Wickham?
Yeah, I hear Wickham's up for Sheffield Wednesday player of the year, but
Hennessy is very good at letting other teams score goals, so maybe
especially Arsenal players. Well, yeah, are you or Guaita? I'm again just scratching the old noggin, trying to think, is there someone else that can be tossed in there just to mix it up a bit? I mean, I think there's
Gary Cahill probably.
Gary Cahill, for the amount that he's played and the sort of effect he's had, you know, instantly coming into the side when he did. I think there's an honourable mention there, but it's between the two that you've mentioned. That's a tough call because I can't. Yeah, I was so down when we signed IU permanently. I'm not going to revise history. I was like, what are we doing? So I feel like he's earned it. Like, not that he's sitting at home hoping that I give him player of the season. But I feel it's the right thing to do. So, yeah, it's got to be Ayu. He's just what he's... And listen, Guait has probably saved us as many points as Ayu's earned us when you sort of really go into the nitty-gritty of it. But, you know, we celebrate goals. We don't overly celebrate saves, so I think RU has got an edge it in what is quite a tightly fought contest.
Okay, what about you, Heskip? Who are you going for?
Not to be contrary and go against Albert, because I agree with everything that you said there, but my vote just marginally is to Guaita. I think there are a lot of games that he's either kept us in or kept us on top, where he, like Albert said, he's won us as many points as IU's goals. And they, you know, they come at important times. He makes brilliant saves. He makes the stuff that potentially other goalkeepers we've had wouldn't be able to do quite as well look easy. Even, you know, like, not to be cynical, but even his time wasting helps us. And it's that, in air quotes, professionalism that's sort of stands him way above the other goalies that we've got. But yeah, I think it's a very tough choice between the two because they've both been brilliant. I mean, you consider that the combined cost for those two is $2.5 million. It's pretty insane, really. And even if you add Gary Cahill into that, it's still $2.5 million. So yeah, Guaita gets it for me. I think he's just pipped Ayu. Though if you look at Ayu's goals, you know, he scored some really important ones, hasn't he? Scored at Old Trafford, scored the winner against Brighton, scored last-minute goals to get us wins against West Ham, like you said. So I think whoever does get the nod out of those two, you wouldn't begrudge him it. But yeah, Guaita gets mine just about.
Yeah, so Vicente Guaita has he tops the stats across all of Europe's top five leagues for he's the highest-performing goalkeeper in Europe. Saves for goals prevented based on expected goals on target. So he saved more difficult, more difficult chances than any other goalkeeper across the leagues. I think Ayu also, I didn't prepare the stats for this because, you know, lockdown and all that. But Ayu, it might top the Premier League as well in terms of points earned, winning goals, because pretty much every goal he scored has earned a point in some fashion. So, for me, I mean, toss a coin. I mean, I'd probably slightly lean more towards Guaita because I was a goalkeeper in my time and, you know, just watching him is incredible. And he's done it pretty much game in, game out where he's played, with the exception of the Sheffield United game at home. Although, that being said, he threw the ball in the net, but in the second half made an absolutely ridiculous save that should have been a goal anyway. So there you go, just, you know, made up for it almost instantly in that game. And he's, as I say, he's done it more consistently, where Ayu, if I'm trying to pick any holes, did go for a period where he didn't score for about 9 or 10 games, or, you know, so it was 1 or 2 in a very big stretch of games, maybe as much as 13 or 14. I seem to remember the stat was before, you know, he scored in the consecutive games or like 2 and 3 before lockdown ended and sort of fluffed these figures a bit. But that's, you know, not just looking at his goals there. He's, you know, on the ball, he's been fantastic. He really, really defends well from the front. And adding the goals as he had this season has really built on his performances from last season that obviously got him noticed by the training staff in training and stuff like that. And they saw that he could do a job. So a big shout out to Roy and his team for, you know, going out there and now making it look like an absolute mockery that we got him for $2.5 million. You know, a lot of people are saying that he's our player of the season, and I think once he gets this going officially to the fans, I think it will be a really, really close run vote between the two. And I wouldn't know which way it's going to fall. So there you go, as our picks for the season. We're pretty much going to leave it there for this week, unless, Albert, you've got anything you want to add?
No.
No.
Good.
It's my youngest's first birthday today. Happy birthday, Bernie. You're not listening. You're one.
First birthday already. It's how time flies, mate. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I saw on Twitter there was a bit of I don't know if Carl Davis led it or I just saw it from him. It was like, let's show the club a bit of support. Let's go on the club shop and spend some money. Mm. I thought, sod it. I'm going to go on there, get a little Palace kit for the little one with his name and a one on it.
Nice.
Fresh out of baby kits. Couldn't get any of them.
Yeah, you have to go into the sales section and get the yellow third kit from a couple of seasons ago that Zaha scored in Huddersfield. You can get that one for a fiver, I think, if it's not sold out.
Good to know.
That's the one I've got anyway. It's also my wife's sister's kid's first birthday today. So there you go. They share a birthday.
Oh, there you go. Big up.
Big up. And what about you, Hesketh?
Nothing to add. My life is dull.
Well, the only thing I've got to add is that after big conversations on the internet, it's tuna, mayonnaise and vinegar toasted sandwiches are the way to go. If you don't know, you really have to get to know. To the extent that I've now ordered a toasting machine that is going to arrive in the next couple of days.
So. Did you go Breville or have you gone off brand? Come on.
No, I've gone Breville.
Of course you have.
Of course I have. You know, they're so cheap on Amazon. It's a no-brainer, really.
No-brainer.
Although my wife's not happy about it. She says it's better to sort of more grill them because she don't like the crust being flattened down around the edge.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Right, anyway, so before we ramble anymore, that's your lot for this week. We will be back next week. We don't know how long we're going to run for into the summer. We'll see how it goes, and obviously it might be dictated by the season actually picking up again, and there we can go. And if not, we'll turn this into some Bundesliga podcast or something. How about that?
Great.
Anyway, until next week, up the Palace.
Back of the Chest, Coronavirus Self-Isolation Podcast.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.